Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Hey, listen, have you ever been in a really bad storm? Who's ever been in a really bad storm? Okay, so we're going to start a new series today called Rooted and Grounded, and in this series, it's going to kind of, if you were here 2 weeks ago whenever I preached the final message of our Q&A session, then it's going to kind of butt up to that, and so it'll kind of flow right in. But if you've ever been in a bad storm, you'll kind of understand where I'm coming from today. I was in a bad storm one time. When I was 20 years old, I think, I was living on my own. And I say that very loosely because my parents lived next door, right? Well, kind of like through the woods. We lived on a bunch of acreage. And so I was living in a single wide trailer. And one night in the middle of the night, I wake up to this clinking sound, right? And I'm like, what in the world is going on? I was probably sleeping in a sleeping bag because I was single at the time and I didn't want to wash my sheets. And so if you sleep in a sleeping bag, you can sleep in a sleeping bag all like for years and years and never wash them, right? Because they don't get dirty like sheets do. And so I'm sleeping in a sleeping bag probably, and I wake up and I hear this clinking sound, and I didn't know what it was. And I look around and my whole trailer is shaking, right? If you've ever lived in a trailer or you live in a trailer right now, you know it doesn't take much to shake a trailer really. But my whole trailer is shaking, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I flip on the TV real quick, and when I did, they were like, tornado warning, there's a tornado in Lee County. And they started saying the tornado is coming through like near Tuskegee, heading towards the Auburn-Opelika area. And I was like, oh man, I'm in between Auburn and Tuskegee, like I'm in trouble. And so I jump up out of the bed, I get my stuff together, and by that I mean put on my clothes to get ready to go. And I go out the door and I think I've got to drive over to my parents' house to be protected from the tornado. So I go running outside. It's raining. The wind is blowing. It sounds like, you know, they tell you all the time if you hear the train sound, you know. And I'm like, I mean, it sounds like a train, like right there. And so I'm freaking out. And I run down my porch. It rains blowing really hard and coming down. And I go and I didn't have like a key fob. Some of y'all, younger people, you may not understand. So there was a time when keys opened doors to cars, right? And so you didn't have a button. And so I get out and I run over and I jam the key in the thing. I open it, get in the car, jump in the car, go to put the key in the ignition. No key in my hand. I'm like, what in the world? I'm a magician. So I didn't know where the key went. I'm looking around. I can't find the key. Open up the door. There is the key laying on the ground. I pick up the key, go to stick it in, and the key is bent. I was like, oh, man. Apparently, in my haste to get in the car, when I jammed it in the door and I tried to get in all one movement, I bent the key. So finally, like I don't remember if I bent the key back or if I just ran through the woods, but I finally made it to my parents' house and I was safe, right? Like I was safe. My trailer was okay. It was apparently all for nothing. It was just like a little rainstorm. But anyways, that's beside the point. So I make it to my parents' house and I'm safe. But I've been in these storms before, and look, in the moment, storms are really scary, right? In the moment, they're really scary. I remember our first hurricane that we went through in Mobile. That was like in the first 2 years or so of our marriage, and that was like one of the worst fights Perry and I ever got into because we were fighting on whether or not to stay and weather the hurricane or drive and go be safe. And me wanted to stay and weather the hurricane. And she was like, there is no way. Like, if you're staying by yourself. Like, I'm going to my mama's house, you know. And so we left and went to her mama's house because I may be stupid, but I know how to obey, right? So we left. And so sometimes when you're in storms, it can be really scary. And I want to show you a story in the Bible real quick in Mark chapter 4. And it's about a storm. And so there's a story where the disciples and Jesus are having a good time. They're doing their thing, and then at some point they decide it's time to go to the other side of the lake, right? Like, we got to get out of here. Let's go to the other side. And so in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, it says, on that day, when evening had come, so it's nighttime and everything's scarier at night, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him in the boat with them, talking about Jesus, just as he was, and other boats were with them. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing. Sometimes in life, we go through storms and they're scary, but to be honest with you, the scariest storms we go through are not the ones on the outside. They're the ones that are going on right here. Like the scariest storms we encounter are the ones that are going on in here. They're the ones that are spiritual. They're the ones that are mental. They're the ones that are inside of us that we just feel like the waves are crashing in. My boat is filling up with water. Have you ever felt like that before? Sometimes I feel like, man, I'm being overwhelmed with this issue, and I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like my boat is sinking, and there's nothing I can do. And then whenever I look for Jesus, He's asleep somewhere. Like, where is God when I need Him the most? Now, I know most of you guys are way better Christians than I am, but there are times I think that way. There are times when I wonder, man, God, are you even here? Jesus, are you even, do you even care about me? And I'm like the disciples. Are you just going to let us perish? Are you going to let us die here? I think, God, you don't see what I'm going through? I've been struggling with this for a while and you don't even care. You're asleep. Sometimes we get that feeling and we think that we're facing the storm all by ourselves. We think that God doesn't care because He's asleep somewhere. The Bible says that you're going to face storms over and over and over. The Bible warns us, but somehow still we get this pie in the sky mentality that whenever we decide to follow Jesus Christ, that life is going to be perfect somehow. That somehow it's going to get better. Somehow it's going to get easy. And the Bible never promises that. Over and over, people tell you, hey, things are going to be bad. Right? And they say, things are going to get worse. Jesus even said, things will get worse before they get better. And people will fall away. Their love will grow cold. Why? Because they're in the middle of a storm and they're feeling overwhelmed and they can't find God in the storm. And so they struggle, and they quit, and they give up. And that's a place where a lot of us find ourselves sometimes. And so I want to look quickly at these disciples and what they did and how they reacted. Because it says here, let me just read it one more time, verse 38, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" If you want to flip over to Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, it's the same story, but from Matthew's perspective, who was on the boat, Matthew says this, "And then he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." A couple of things I want you to notice today, and if you're taking notes, I gave everybody notes. It's in that little worship guide, so if you want to get those notes out, there's some blanks. The first ones are going to be this. The disciples reacted in fear. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the difference between a reaction and a response. Reaction is based on my feelings. Reaction is based on what's right here in front of me. And so whenever I react, the disciples reacted in fear, right? And so a reaction is quick. A reaction has no thought to it. A reaction is just based on your feelings. But a response is different. A response is something that is calculated. A response is something that I've thought through. A response comes from somewhere deep in my heart. And so we want to look at this real quick because the disciples reacted in fear. And that's what we do a lot of times. We get a bad doctor's report. We get a bad meeting with our boss, right? And the first thing we want to do is react in fear, react in anger. We react based on our feelings. And it never helps. I don't know about you, but the last time you reacted to your boss, did it help you keep your job or did it help you find a new one? Most of the time, it helps you find a new one. It's important to understand there's a difference in reacting and responding. We have to learn to respond, not react. Jesus responded in faith. The disciples reacted in fear. Jesus responded in faith. Jesus got up and said, "I got this, man. I got this. Y'all need to calm down. Why are y'all so afraid? Why are y'all so full of fear when you know I got this? Watch. Be quiet." And the storm died down. Like, Jesus is very calm, very calculated. Why? Because He knows down in His heart that He's not going to die tonight. He knows down in His heart the storm may be loud and the boat may be filling up, but we ain't going down. And sometimes for us, it's hard because we're in the middle of the boat and we may not can see what Jesus sees. But at the end of the day, we've got to learn to respond in faith in Him and not fear in our circumstances. And that's real easy for me to say standing up here, and it's real hard for you to live out sitting down there. Sometimes whenever I preach or anybody preaches, we say a lot of stuff that sounds good, but it's hard to walk out. It's hard when you're the one facing the cancer. It's hard when you're the one looking at a divorce. It's hard when you're the one having to find the new job. And I've been there. I've been in these situations before. My church people, that my regulars, you know a lot of my story. You know I faced storms before in my life when I felt like I was drowning and I felt like I was going to have to give up and I felt like I was going to have to quit. Like, I've faced that before, and it's not fun and it's not easy. And you want to react out of fear. But we can't. We've got to learn to respond out of faith. Well, how do I learn how to respond out of faith? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Because Paul prays this prayer, and this is going to be the basic scripture that we're going to go on for the next 3 weeks. But Paul prays this prayer for each and every one of us. I love this prayer that he's praying. And it's going to set us up for a couple of things. So it says this: "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." This is verse 14 of Ephesians 3. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power." Everybody say that with me. Say, strengthened, strengthened. With power. Power. Now stop talking. "Through His Spirit in your inner being." Last week I was trying to read this to Auburn, and whenever I tried to read it to them, they just kept following along. Then I couldn't read my verse. I had to tell them to shut up. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Today we're going to take part of that verse, and we're going to take the strengthened part, and today's message is called Strengthened by the Spirit. Strengthened by the Spirit. Next week we'll talk about being rooted, and the next week we'll talk about being grounded. But today I want to focus just on the strengthened part. Have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt weak? There's been plenty of times in my life when I've just felt weak or inadequate, and I'm facing something and I don't know how to handle it. And it's because I don't have any kind of strength to overcome that issue, right? And so sometimes we face these issues, and it's important to know that the Bible says that the Spirit is going to strengthen us. That it's not just you strengthening yourself. It is the Spirit of God that wants to come in and He wants to strengthen you. The Bible says, in your inner man, on the inside, right? And before we get into how, I wanted you to look at a couple of things. One thing it says is that you want to be strengthened in the Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So that Christ may dwell. The key word there is Christ dwelling in you, not visiting you. Not visiting. You see, Perry and I had, there was a lady in our church, her and her son just moved away to another city. And Krista is her name. And so some of you know Krista. So she just moved away to another city. Before she moved, she had sold her house back earlier in the summer, but her job in the new city hadn't started yet. So she had about 6 weeks of still working in Birmingham, but with no house. And so she asked if she could stay with us, and we let her stay with us, her and her son. And so they came in. They brought their stuff, their shampoo, their food. Like, they had all their stuff set up in our downstairs and in our kitchen. And they had all their stuff in there, and they were living at our house. But guess what? That wasn't their home. Although they were living there, they were still just visitors. Why? Because it wasn't their permanent residence. It wasn't where they could really feel like they were at home. They just kind of felt welcome, sure, but at the end of the day, they know they got to leave, right? And so what we do with Christ sometimes is the same thing. We allow Christ into our life as a visitor, but the Bible says here, Paul says, I want you to be strong in your inner man so that you can allow Christ to dwell, to live, to establish a home in you. It's important to understand today that we've got to establish a place for him. So why do I need strength? I need strength in my inner man because my inner man and my flesh, my outer man, are constantly at war with each other. My flesh wants to sin. My emotions, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, they want to sin. They want to do what they want to do, what feels good. But my spirit man, my inner man, my heart, it wants to serve Christ. It wants to allow Christ in. And so they're constantly at war with each other. And so if I can learn to weaken one and strengthen the other, then I have the strength to create space in my life for Christ to dwell. Perry's got a friend, and we were talking the other day, and the friend was saying that they have they had an issue with their car. The windows wouldn't roll up in the car or something, and they got water in the car, and they needed to air the car out, but it was raining outside. And Perry was just like, hey, why don't you just pull it in your garage? Like, that makes the most sense. Pull in your garage, open up the doors, let it air out. And the lady was like, yeah, but you don't understand. I've got 7 garages at my house. Can we pause for a moment and just think about that? Like, why in the world would you have 7 garages? I can't even imagine what I would do with 7 cars, right? Like, you just drive one a day for a week? I guess that's it. What car are you driving today? Oh, it's Tuesday, you know. I'm going to get my Tuesday car and drive around. 7 garages. And Perry's like, okay, yes, 7 garages. You got one, stick it in there, right? And she was like, we've got 7 garages, but my husband has filled them all up with junk, and we can't park a single car in our house. Now, I like to say that because right off the bat, there's some of y'all going, ooh, that's terrible. That's awful. And I'll be like, how many garages do you have? I got one. Can you park a car in it? No, it's full of junk. Just as bad, but they got more, right? The point is this. These people have a lot of capacity for putting a car in there, but they filled their life up with so much stuff that they can't allow a single car to get in. Now, we do the same thing. We fill our life up with so much stuff that Christ has no room to dwell in our hearts. We've got to create space. Sometimes there's some hobbies or some things you got to give up in order to allow Christ to come in. Sometimes there's some emotions and some baggage that you got to give up to allow Christ to come in. We've got to create some space. I'm saying all that to say this. Let's get to how we do it. Let's get some strength. Because the Bible says, Paul says, you got to have strength to create the space, right? So how do we get that strength? How does the Spirit strengthen us? Well, I'm going to give you three places today where the Spirit will strengthen you, okay? The first place is the strength comes from dependency. Dependency. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. I want you to look at that for a second. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. In order to be led by something, you have to depend on that thing, right? Have you ever played that game where you put a blindfold around your eyes and you put your hand out and someone has to walk you around a room? You ever done that game before? Don't ever play that game with me. When I was a kid, I walked people straight into poles and walls. Like, that was my goal, is to see if I could get you to break your nose, right? I was not a good person. And so then there's another game where you do the same thing, blindfold, and then someone stands behind you and says, walk one step forward, you know, 2 steps left, and you walk someone through a maze just by listening to your voice. What's happening? What's happening is I have to depend on the person to tell me the right directions. And if I will learn to depend on them and trust them, they will get me where I need to go. We very rarely want to do that with the Holy Spirit. We very rarely want to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our life, to allow Him to lead us and guide us. And we want to take control of everything. We want to control where we go and what we do. And we don't want God to have a say-so. But I'm going to tell you something. if you don't allow God to lead you, if you don't allow His Spirit to lead you, if you don't learn to depend on Him, to trust in Him, then you will never have the strength that you need to get through life, to weather the storm. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 9, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." That's bad. Next one says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord." I don't know why he repeats himself. "He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and it is not anxious in the year of drought, nor does it cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" The writer here is telling us, hey, if you want to be strong to weather the drought, to weather the storm, to weather the trial, you've got to trust in the Lord. Because when you trust in the Lord, it's like a tree that has its roots going down into a stream, and it's always full, it's always strong, and no matter what comes against it, it will make it, it will last. But if you want to trust in yourself, you're going to be like a shrub in the middle of the desert, withering and dying. I don't know about you, I'd rather be a tree than a shrub. So the first thing you have to do is you have to learn dependency. We have to learn to trust in God. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what the doctor said. You don't know what my boss said. You don't know what my wife or my husband said. You don't know what my kid's going through. You're right, I don't know and I don't understand. But I do know this. I know God is bigger than all of that. And I know that God can take the worst situation and turn it around for good. Yeah, but I'm going through hell right now. He will go through hell with you. The Bible says that you go through the fire, I'll be with you. If you go to heaven, I'll be there. But if you go to hell, I'll be there. He says, I'll travel the path with you, but I will get you to another side of it. And you may not be able to see that side right now, but if you will trust me, if you will depend on me, I will get you there. I will get you there. The second place that the Bible says that the Spirit strengthens us, where strength comes from, it comes from dependency, but it also comes from the wilderness. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. So we read about Jesus, right? It says the Bible, it said that he was filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, but it says he was led into the wilderness. And we don't like that because we say, I trust you, God, to lead me. Why are you leading me into the wilderness? Why are you leading me into the bad place? Why are you leading me into a trial, into a problem, into an issue? He was led into the wilderness, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. It wasn't until after he went through the wilderness that he had power. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say Jesus, full of power, walked into the wilderness. No, it says Jesus, being led by the Spirit, walks into the wilderness for 40 days with no food, no drink, 40 days being tempted by the devil himself, 40 days in the heat, 40 days in a barren land. For 40 days he's out here in the wilderness, and whenever he leaves, his flesh is weaker, but his spirit is stronger. You want some strength today? You might have to endure the wilderness. You might have to make it through the wilderness. The wilderness is a great place of testing. The wilderness is a great place where God can use you. But the problem is we want to get out of the wilderness so bad that we miss everything God wants to teach us in the wilderness. We miss everything God wants to do in us in the wilderness. Let me give you a couple of thoughts about the wilderness real quick. The wilderness can be your circumstances. The wilderness can be your circumstances. It could be something out of your control. It just is what it is. When Jesus walks out into the wilderness, he leaves the water, he leaves the grass, he leaves everything good behind him. It's a lonely place, and he has to step out into this lonely place where it's just him, right? And it's sun, it's heat, it's dry ground, it's not fun, it's rocky, it's hard, it's not a good place to sleep. And so it's just the circumstances. Sometimes your circumstances, it's not God, it's not the devil, it's just your circumstances. It just is what it is. Like you're just in a place right now in your life that's just tough. Sometimes that happens. And that's okay. Because God can do some great things in the wilderness. Sometimes the wilderness is the devil. Jesus walks out into the wilderness. It's a bad place that's beyond anybody's control. But then the Bible says that the devil himself shows up to tempt him, right? So what happens? So now the devil is attacking him. Sometimes your attack, your wilderness, your problem is the devil. Sometimes it is just a spiritual force attacking you. And it's one of those things you can pray against, but you've got this attack coming on you. And God can use that attack to strengthen you. But here's the last one. Sometimes the wilderness is your choice. Sometimes it's your choice. Jesus walked out in the wilderness. The Bible says he didn't have to. It never says that he had to fast. He chose not to eat in the wilderness. Why? Because he made a choice to take the hard path. Because I think he knew that he needed to weaken his outer man, weaken his desires, so that he could strengthen the spirit inside of him. And I want to just hold on to that thought for just a few minutes today. That there's a place where we choose the hard path. There's a place where we choose the hard path. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says this: "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow," verse 14, "and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." We've always looked at that as heaven and hell. But he doesn't really say anything about heaven and hell here. It's not. He's talking about just your life path. That if you want to, you can choose the easy path anytime you want. The problem is, most of the time, the easy path is going to lead you to destruction. Think about it at your job. The easy path would be to show up 5 minutes late. The easy path would be to not work quite as hard as you should, to cut things off, to take shortcuts everywhere you find one. The hard path is getting there 5 minutes early. The hard path is working all the way until you're done with the project. The hard path is doing those things. In marriage, it's the same way. There's an easy way and a hard way. In life, there's an easy way and a hard way. And Jesus is saying here, hey, you can choose the easy way if you want, but it will lead you to destruction. Or you can choose the narrow way, the hard way. What is that? That's a way that everything, you got to do it. You're doing the right thing. You're doing what he's called you to do. And sometimes you make it hard on yourself on purpose. Why? Because in the hard times is where I get stronger. I'm one of those guys, I know I don't look like I like fitness, but I love to work out. Like when most pastors are golfing, I'm at the gym. Like that's just my place to relax and enjoy life and think. And so I like to go to the gym. But whenever I go to the gym, sometimes my wife makes fun of me because every so often I like to choose the hard path. Like there's things I like to do that are different from everybody else at the gym. And we go to like the YMCA in Trustful. And like everybody at the YMCA is like, you know, very cool and, you know, very proper. And I'm used to working out at this like warehouse that when I lived in Auburn that was like no air conditioning and a bunch of meatheads and it was fun. So I go to the YMCA and like I'm the guy that's got like the mask on and I've got the 20-pound vest on and I look like a little skinny version of Bane, right? Like Bane is anorexic and that was me, right? And so I'm in there doing that and Perry's like, "You are so embarrassing," right? Like I don't tell anybody we're married. And so I'm in there working out. Why? But why do I do that? I do that because I want to choose the hard path because I know that if I just do everything easy, if I do all the exercises that I like to do, I will never grow. I will never get stronger. I will never have more endurance. But if I choose the hard path, it hurts for a moment, but in the end, I'm better for it. Sometimes I choose the hard path. Sometimes we need to choose the hard path. What is the hard path, Pastor? It might be fasting. You might be learning to say, "Hey, look, today I'm going to choose the hard path, not because of anything special, but I just want to try it." There's times we're at the gym the other day, and there's this lady doing a class, and I started talking to her about her class. I'm like, "Man, that looks hard. I'm going to do it." And so I went and I did the class, and it was hard. And then whenever the class was over, I was like, "What's the next thing y'all are going to do? I can't be here for your next class. What's the next thing you do?" And she told me this workout they were going to do, and I look up the workout online. And whenever like the real people do it, they do it with a 20-pound vest. I didn't ask her if they were doing 20-pound vest. Turns out they didn't, and I did. I'm in there with a 20-pound vest. My hands are bleeding. My lungs are burning. I'm dying, right? And so for an hour, I'm doing this workout with a 20-pound vest on. And why? Why did I do that? It's because I chose that hard path because I just thought, I just want to see what I can do. Like, it wasn't even always about getting stronger. It was just, what can I do? What can I endure? And sometimes I think we make fasting this idea that is so spiritual and so zen and meditation, and that's great. But at the end of the day, sometimes it's just about learning what you can do and what you can endure. For years, I told people I can't fast food because I'll get sick and I'll throw up and I'll be lightheaded. And then one day I was like, man, that's so stupid. I'm just going to try it. Like, how do I know if I don't try it? I just tried it. Like, I just tried, okay, we're just not going to eat for a while. And so sometimes you need to learn that, hey, you think you got to get up every morning in Eternal Sports Center, but maybe every morning you could say, tomorrow morning I'm waking up, and instead of Eternal Sports Center for the 15 minutes that I normally watch Sports Center, I'm just going to go in my room, I'm going to pray and read my Bible. Like, I'm going to take that 15 minutes and spend time with God. Why? Because I just got to learn to try the hard path sometimes. And we think we can't do it. We think, well, I can't pray. I'm not good at praying, so I can't. No. It doesn't matter what you're good at. I'm not good at working out half the time, but I just try stuff. I just try stuff because I want to be better. And that's what you need to do. Just try stuff. Let's make a commitment this fall to just try some stuff. Like to say, I want to just take the hard path. Whenever I have the chance to take it easy, I want to take the hard path. So when I get in my car and I have the chance to listen to sports radio, or I'm going to be on the road for a while, I have the chance to just listen to what I want to listen to, I'm going to just try first to listen to this. I'm going to try first not to listen to anything and just pray. I'm going to try to do something that puts me in a place before God where I can be strengthened and not weakened. The third place where the Holy Spirit strengthens us is in time with the Spirit. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. For they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The word wait here in the Hebrew, and I've shared this before, but the word wait here in the Hebrew literally means to take like chains or cords and twist them together. Right? To twist them together. So the word wait here is an action. It's not a just sit down and do nothing. It is an action of twisting cords together. And the best way to describe that is this. Have you ever, remember whenever you were a little kid and you'd go to the swing set, right? And you'd get on the swing and you'd have everybody twist you on the swing. Y'all remember that? Am I the only one that did that? If you did that, raise your hand. All right, if you did not do that, raise your hand. Sissy. It's Jesse. They twist you on the swing, and what happens? As the chains twist, you get higher and higher, and they get tighter and tighter and tighter, and then all of a sudden they let you go, and when they let you go, you just start spinning like a helicopter, right? And then you throw up. And it's awesome. It's so much fun. But if you don't like it, then they just twist you a couple of times, and you don't spin very fast, right? It's kind of weak. And so here's the thought. The thought is this. When it says wait on the Lord, the thought is this. It's a continual twisting of the chains. I just keep twisting the chains because I know that God's going to show up. And the more I twist these chains, the more I twist these chains, the stronger I become, the stronger I get. And as I wait on Him, as I wait, well, how do I wait and twist chains? A lot of that has to do with your time in prayer. A lot of that has to do with you just spending some moments alone. Most of the time on Sunday mornings here, I'm pretty busy. I'm in here. I'm getting stuff together. I'm doing stuff. But last week at Auburn, because I'm not the pastor at that church, other people are doing everything. I don't have to do anything. And so I noticed, like, I was there early, like I always am here. I get my everything done that I'm supposed to do. And I was like, man, I got nothing to do. I thought, I'm going to go to this office. They had an empty office. I just went in the empty office, turn off the lights, close the door, turn on some praise and worship music, and I just begin to pray. And I thought, I'm just going to twist some chains in here today. I'm just going to get in here. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to just talk to Him for a few minutes. I'm going to just worship Him. And when I don't know what to say, I'll just sit and I'll listen to this worship music. And I just begin to twist chains spiritually. And as I begin to wait on the Lord, I'm going to tell you, when I came out, I just felt my spirit inside of me was stronger than it ever has been. Why? Because I took some time to wait on the Lord. But we go through so many problems and so many storms and so many issues. And the first thing we do is start screaming and crying and yelling and being fearful. When really what we might want to do is just go close the door. Stop listening to everybody else. Jesus went into a situation one time where someone was dead and He just kicked everybody out of the house. He said, I'm tired of listening to your voice. Y'all are so negative. Get out. I'm closing the door. It's just going to be me in this room, and we're going to twist some chains. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God, and we're going to see a miracle happen. We're going to see a miracle happen. My final thing I want to share with you today is this. If you want, the end of that verse in Ephesians says, be full of the fullness of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be full of the fullness of God. I want everything God has. I want to be full to overflowing. Whatever that means, I want it, right? So for today's thought, I want to be full of the strength and power of God. I want to be full of the strength and power of God. How do I achieve that, Pastor? I achieve that through the fire. I achieve that through the storm. I achieve that in the trial and in the wilderness. As I'm there in that place, I learn to trust God, and I learn to know that in that fire, God's making me better. Zechariah chapter 13. Verse 8. I don't have verse 8. Oh, maybe I do have verse 8. In verse 8 it says this, in the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. Hold right there. Hold right there in verse 8. This is a prophecy for the Jews in the Old Testament. But we're going to take it for us today, if that's okay with you. But it says that two-thirds shall be cut off and perish. God's speaking here through Zechariah to the Jewish nation, and he says there's a time coming when wilderness is going to happen, storms are going to happen, fire's going to happen, bad stuff's going to happen, and two-thirds of everybody's going to be cut off. 66% is going to leave. They're going to walk away. They're going to die. They're going to perish. They're going to give up. He says, but, verse 9, but one-third I'm going to put into the fire. Hold up, God. You just said that two-thirds of the people are going to die, and the one-third of us that are left, you're going to put us in a fire? That's not fair. That's not fair. We're the ones that remain faithful. We're the ones that love you. We're the ones that are in church. We're seeking your face, and you're going to put us in the fire? Yeah. And refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, these are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. We find that strength sometimes in the fire. Metal is made stronger in the fire. Because in the fire, you lose all the impurities. In the fire, you lose all the junk. In the fire, you lose all the mess. In the fire, you lose all the fear. And the only thing that remains is the faith. Some of you are going through a very hard time today. You don't understand why you're going through that hard time, and I can't answer why you're going through that hard time. And you may feel like the hard times never end in good. And that's okay. Sometimes they don't. Here's the thing. Here's where the hard times do end. Is that in that hard time, if you will allow Him to, God will begin to burn out and remove all the fear. Why? So I can trust in Him more. So I can go through the hard places. I can make the hard choice sometimes. And I can spend time with Him. Because He's removing all the junk from my life that gets in my way. He's removing all the mess that keeps me from seeing Him. And then I'm going to be full of the fullness of God. I'm going to be full of His strength and His power. Won't you stand up with me today? If you don't mind closing your eyes this morning, nobody looking around, let's just take a minute to allow God to speak to our hearts right now, whatever it is that He may want to say to you. He may be telling you today, hey, you got to struggle with fear, and you got to struggle here where you're just totally afraid and you're not operating in faith like you should, and I want to work on that. Maybe today you're just facing a battle and you don't know how to deal with it, and you got to just learn to depend on God, and that's hard and it's not easy. God wants to help you today. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to fill you with His fullness today. And that fullness is His power and His strength. Maybe today you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm not serving God today like I should. And I'm going through this storm. And you know what? At the end of the day, this storm is my making. This storm is my making because I've taken myself outside of God's plan. And I'm not serving Him like I should. Or I'm not serving Him at all. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. And you need today to allow Him into your life. with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, let me just remind you, the story of the boat was this. There was a storm coming. Can I tell you, every time you get on a boat, there will be a storm. Every time there's going to be a storm. But you make it to the other side because of who's in your boat. And if Jesus isn't in the boat of your life today, if you don't have a relationship with Him today, that storm's going to beat you to death. So if you need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you need to get your life back on track, you need to relinquish control of your life to Him again today, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I don't need to see it long. I just need to see who I'm praying for today. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to say a prayer with you this morning, and then we're going to open up the stage for prayer if anybody needs prayer in a minute. But as I pray for you right now, I want you, if you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ, if you need to start a relationship with Him, I'm just going to ask you to pray in your own way, in your own words, and just begin to ask Him to come into your life, ask Him to forgive you. God, I just pray right now over everybody in this room, and we just ask you today just to step into our boat, step into our life today. We accept you, we receive you as our Lord and as our Savior. God, we know that we're sinners. We know we've got issues and problems. But God, today we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to wash us and cleanse us. We thank you, God, that your word says that by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, we can be forgiven of all of our sins. And so today we give you our life. We give you all that we have, and we put ourselves in your hands. We put our faith in you, our trust in you. We thank you that your word says where there's perfect love, there is no fear. And so today we just receive your love and your forgiveness, and we dedicate our lives to you. God, I pray for anybody today that's going through a storm right now. If you're going through a storm this morning, just slip up your hand. I pray for everybody right now going through a storm, and I just pray that you would minister to these needs. I pray right now, God, for every hand that is raised. I pray for that person's life today, that they would trust you. God, that they would learn to have strength from you, even in the wilderness. God, I pray today that their time with you would not just be sitting and doing nothing. Their time with you would be twisting those chains, that they would be pursuing you. They would be praying for you, praying to you, and believing that you're going to show up. God, I thank you that your word says that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. God, some of us have gotten so weak. We've been beat up so much. We don't even know how to stand anymore. But I thank you that time in your presence will renew our strength. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.